here, and we're moving into the second section of teaching. Yesterday, the first day, was on the sinfulness of sin in the life of the believer, and today it's God's answer to that sin, the wonderful sufficiency there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you turn with me to the passage we had yesterday, 2 Peter and chapter 1, the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Yesterday we read together the first 15 verses. We saw the circumstances under which it was written, the need for which it was written, to strengthen those who are about to undergo suffering, persecution, and we noticed in particular, towards the end of the passage, the Trinity of Remembrance, how Peter brought to them these phrases, this phrase coming again, putting you in remembrance, always in remembrance of these things. Three things, three times that phrase comes, always in remembrance. In other words, these people who are going to suffer in mind, and in body, and in spirit, just as you will be called upon to suffer in mind, in body, and spirit, and I will be, we will be. God's answer to these people was this Trinity of Remembrance, always in remembrance. We saw yesterday morning in verse 8 why this was necessary. Because it says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we noticed that it was possible to be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, not in the ignorance of our Lord Jesus Christ. You won't be barren in your ignorance, you'll be barren in your knowledge. And that's the tragedy. The tragedy of the church today is you have a church which has truth, but has a barrenness in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we went on last night again to see what sin really is. Sin is independence. Me going my own way, not necessarily into evil and shameful acts, but me thinking I have all that it takes to live the Christian life. And that's why you get barrenness. Because the things that are taught, we push to one side, and in our own human sufficiency, we walk into the service of God, into the life of being a Christian, into the battles of life, resulting in barrenness through independence. Now, we're moving on today, and we're turning to the beginning of this same chapter, and we're going to find this morning one truth, and the next morning another truth, and the third morning another truth. We're going to find a trinity of truth to answer this trinity of remembrance, just like last night we saw the Satan's trinity of temptation. These things working in threes. Now this morning, would you follow through with me, please, as I read just the beginning of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant, a slave, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's as far as we're going this morning. Would you notice in verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now those are the two things you want as a Christian in your heart and life. More grace and more peace. I guarantee if those of you who come with a need, if you could state your need in terms of real biblical ideas, you'd say, oh, that I might have more peace in my life. of more grace to meet the conditions in which I live. And this is teaching us that grace and peace can be multiplied unto you. Would you notice, incidentally, that in verse 2 it says, grace and peace be multiplied, but down in verse 5 it says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your virtue. Quite an arithmetical chapter. But notice it's God who does the multiplying, and then we who do the adding. God who does the multiplying, and we in response do the adding. But I'm looking at this multiplying section in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. There's a lovely truth in this, hidden in the word knowledge. Because actually, it doesn't mean grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge of God. What it means is grace and peace is multiplied through the increasing knowledge of God. It isn't that the knowledge that I possess is sufficient to give me increasing grace and peace. But grace and peace will be multiplied unto me as I go on to an increasing knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge that I had when I was saved was sufficient to bring me into the knowledge of sin forgiven. The trouble is that so many of us quit when we're there. We think we've arrived because we've been born again. Because our sins were forgiven, we've made it, we've done it. Hallelujah, now we're there. You haven't. You've just begun. You've just begun. And you'll never have more grace and more peace unless you go on with an increasing knowledge of Jesus Christ. An increasing knowledge. And that's what faith is for. That we might have an increasing knowledge of what God and our Lord Jesus Christ have done and will do for us, for you and for me. So if you want grace and if you want more peace to be multiplied, then you want an increasing knowledge of what God and our Lord Jesus Christ have done and will do and can do for you. Then looking in verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us some things that pertain unto life and godliness. Are you sure? What does your Bible say? All things. Yes. I read, according as his divine power hath given unto us some things that pertain unto life and godliness. No, the Bible says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now you say, well, why did you read some things? That's exactly how we live. I read it exactly how we live. We live as if God, by his wondrous mercy, his divine power, has given unto us some of the things that we need for life and godliness, then you and I have to roll up our sleeves and fight for the rest and produce the rest by blood, toil, tears, and sweat, as beloved Churchill would say. That's how many Christians live. If God has given me some of the things I need, and it's up to me to produce the rest. That's how you're living. That's how you're living. You're living on the basis that God has given to you some of the things that you need for life and godliness. Sure he has. You've been to the cross. You come as a sinner, as we saw yesterday, and you receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And how you thank God for that wondrous shed blood of Jesus Christ. And maybe that's all you know. That's all you know. How much has God given you? It says here, he's given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him but hath called us to glory and virtue. Check that again. Make sure your eyes are reading correctly. God has given. Notice the tense. It's already been done. God has already given to you all the things that you need for all of this life and for godliness. If you want to live in the God sense of the word, not exist, of course, if you want to exist, then you give up, you work on the idea that his divine power has given unto us some of the things that pertain. But if you want to live with a capital L, then you better realize that God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness too. Godliness. You know, godliness isn't a cowardly word. Somehow people have the idea in some places that godly is a meek thing. It's a miserable thing, an insipid kind of an experience. I wouldn't call the Lord Jesus Christ insipid and weak. And the finest Christians I know are godly men and women. Godly men and women. And they can take their stand in any walk of life. They aren't miserable things. They've got a tremendous sense of humor and joy and delight, and their lives radiate joy and peace. That's godliness. That's godliness. And you know, that's the very thing you want. That's why you came to Celtic this year. You want life and godliness, real life with a capital L, and godliness that simply overflows with joy and gladness and blessing. Well, if that's what you want, you're in the right place, because it says so here, his divine power hath given unto us all the things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, this morning, we're going to look at what these all the things are that God has given to you. But just one point before we go into this thought. I wonder if you're barren and fruitless because you've been doing too much asking. Now, I know it says in the Bible, ask and ye shall receive, knock and it shall be open unto you, seek and ye shall find. I know that. But there's also another line of teaching which we want to bear in mind. And it's this, that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The gift of God is eternal life. Wherever you see God coming out in grace to a Christian or a believer or a seeker, God is always coming out giving. Giving. It says, so here God has given unto us, given unto us. Now, if somebody gives you a gift, your birthday, or Christmas, or another time, and they come to you with a gift and a present, and they say, oh my dear, I'm so glad to see you. Look, I've got a present for you. I've got a gift. I've got this especially for you. And you'd look with a smile on your face, and you'd look at them, and you'd say, oh, I wish that was mine. Oh, I wish you would give it to me. Oh, I wish I had this thing. You know, I've been looking for this thing for you. Oh, I wish you would give it to me. They'd probably hit you on the head if you said that. You don't ask for a gift. What do? You take it. You take it. When they bring you the gift, you say, oh, that's so kind of you, I'm so kind of you. Thank you so much, I don't deserve it. Here, give it to me. But you don't ask for it, you take it. You take it. That's the whole point of a gift. You take it. Now here the Bible is teaching right from cover to cover. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God has given it to you, given it to you. and you go on your knees and you say, oh, Lord, I need strength. Oh, Lord, help me out of this. Oh, Lord, bless me. And you're asking his God, our blessed Heavenly Father, handing the gift to you, and you're on your knees asking for it. You don't ask it, what do you do? Take it and remember to say, thank you. Maybe that's why you're barren and your Christian life is fruitless. Because for years you've been asking God to give you power, asking God to bless you with His Spirit, asking God to do all this, asking and asking and asking. And all the time, with loving patience, God is offering to you this. And the angels in heaven are saying, when will he take it? When will she take it? Why doesn't she realize that our Heavenly Father has given it to her? His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Are you barren because you're always asking? Prayer isn't always asking. Prayer, remember, is always with thankfulness. And you can't say thank you unless you've received something. And you don't receive it until you take it. And when you take it, it's yours. So turn with me, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 5. And let's see what are these old things that God has given to us. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, there's somebody in this room this morning, and you're still ungodly. And you're still away from Jesus Christ. And you're still an enemy of God. An enemy of God. Yes, you are. Because although you're gathering with us, there never was a time in your life when you came as a sinner and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Dear Lord, I need nothing but salvation. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and cleanse me from my sin and be my own personal Savior. And you're in our midst this morning. And you've never done that yet. That's the first thing you've got to do. God's got loads and loads of wondrous blessings and mercies for you, but you begin at the cross. And if you've never been to the cross, I suggest you do so. And if you haven't and you'd like some help, I'd love to help you after this meeting. You come along to me and say, Mr. Hunter, or come to Dick or Ray and say, look, I want to start on this pathway. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. You come and we'd be delighted to lead you to Christ. But you see, you're out of all the blessings. There's the wondrous, continuous blessing of God, and you're bankrupt. You've got nothing. Because you haven't been to the cross. So looking at verse 8, God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're looking now at the sufficiency of Christ in the life of the believer. God's provision for the need in the heart of the Christian, the sinner, the believer, whoever they may be, we're looking now at God's full provision. Notice, God hath given unto us all things that pertain. And here's where we begin. And as I've just said, surely most of us here know this fact. We thank God for the day when we realized that we were sinners, and we realized that Christ died for us, and we came to the cross and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but oh Lord, how wonderful to know that you died for sinners. Therefore you died for me. And your precious blood will cleanse me from my sin. And you opened your heart and you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. And cleanse me from my sin. And with some of you, that was 1 year ago, maybe 1 week ago, months ago, 2 years ago, some of you 20 years ago, some of you 30 years ago, and I'm sure someone's going to come to me and say, brother, you didn't go back far enough. But there was a day, and praise God for that day, when you and I came as sinners and we were saved, and our sins were forgiven, and we could look up and we could say, thank you, Heavenly Father, my sins are gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone, cleansed in the precious blood of Christ. And that was God's provision for your past. God's provision for all your past, all your sin is dealt with. And as the years go by and by his sufficiency of grace, even as sinners, even as Christians, when we sin, because remember, sin is independence of God, and we cannot help but move into those painful times of weakness and failure. There's no such thing as sinless perfection. There are times when we need again to come to Christ and come seeking his precious blood. And may I press this point? As soon as you as a believer are conscious of weakness and sin in your life, as soon as you're conscious of the fact that you step into independence, as soon as you realize that, don't you wait 2 seconds to come to Christ and say, Blessed Lord, oh Lord Jesus, forgive me, dear Lord, cleanse me in your precious blood. Keep short accounts with God. In that way you'll know his peace and his daily cleansing. But this is God's wondrous provision, in a way, for my past. My sins are gone. Now the pathetic thing is this, that there are some Christians, and that's all they know of the work of Jesus Christ. All they know is that their sins are forgiven. And they hope for the best. They aren't quite sure, but they hope that things will be all right as they go on. And they hope that things will be all right when they get to glory. And they live in hope. A hope, in quotes, just a kind of a hope. But they do know that their sins are forgiven. Now, the wonderful sufficiency of Christ is this, that God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And there's much more in God's salvation than having my sins forgiven. There is much more than knowing my sins are cleansed in the blood of Christ. And if you don't believe me, look at verse 9. The first 2 words of verse 9, much more. There's much more than having my sins forgiven. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Notice this provision of God. The past tense, my sins are cleansed in the blood of Christ. Much more, a future tense. We shall be, here it teaches me here, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Glorious confidence, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Thank you, Lord Jesus, not only does your wonderful death guarantee to me a cleansing of all my sins, but blessed Lord, there's this sure hope in my heart that I shall be delivered from wrath through you. Teaches me so much more. Being now justified, because I am justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There's no great white throne for me. There's no finger of condemnation. There's no finger of judgment coming on me. Why? Because God hath given unto me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. When I arrive in heaven, I'll arrive godly. Not because I deserve it, but because of the wondrous power of the blood of Christ. I arrive in heaven cleansed by the blood of Christ. It's the finished work of Christ, the completed work of Christ. And that's amazing, and that's wonderful, and you know there may be somebody here and you aren't sure about that. You've been born again, my brother and my sister. You've been born again. You won't be unborn again. You've got eternal life. If it's eternal life, it has to be eternal. If it's everlasting, it has to be everlasting. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And nobody will take it out. Thank God he's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And there's much more than having my sins forgiven. There's the glory of a sure guaranteed home in heaven. I'm going to die with a smile on my lips and a hope in my heart and a confidence in my heart. The Bible teaches, absent from the body, present with the Lord. As quickly as that. That's the teaching of the Word of God. As your eyes close in death, they open in the presence of Christ. A loving Savior. A wondrous Savior who's waiting to receive you. And some of you here may have seen your loved ones pass into the presence of Christ. I have. And you've heard them even before they've left this world. They've seen him. And they start talking about him, and they tell you they can see him. I think of my mother-in-law, God bless her, dying with cancer. With all the pain and the uttermost pain of cancer. But when she came to the end, the pain was gone. Because she saw Christ. And she was telling the folk there what she saw. And she died with a smile on her face and a glorious joy in her heart. Why? Because God had given unto her all things. All things. All things. That's wonderful. But you know, this is the tragedy. That there are hundreds of God's people. And there'll be some in this place this morning. And that is all you know of God's salvation. This is all I knew for years of God's salvation. That my sins were forgiven, that I had a home in heaven. That when I died, I'd go to be with Jesus. That's all I knew. My sins were done, I had a home in heaven. And I was taught as a young Christian, now it's up to you to go out. And you've got to live for Jesus, and you've got to struggle through, and you've got to fight through, and you pick yourself up, and you suffer for Jesus, just like he suffered for you, and you go and live for Jesus. And I tried it, and it didn't work. And some of you are still trying it. I spent much of my Christian life to begin with picking myself up off the floor. Trying to get through, fight against temptation, fight against sin, struggle against all the circumstances, fighting, and down I go, licked by my own lust. Then I pick myself up again and have another go, and try to find new gimmicks and new techniques of living a Christian life where I could grow new techniques and new powers would come to me that I might be able to make it. If I lived long enough, and I was trying to acquire skills of living that would enable me to live a Christian life. And all the time, God was giving to me all the things that I needed for life and godliness. I was trying to produce what God had already given. And that's what many of you are doing this in your life just now. You're trying to overcome temptation. You're trying to overcome fear. You're trying to overcome this and do this and fight against this. And you're doing it for the love of Christ, and you want to be a witness for him. And with absolute sincerity, you want to be all you can for Jesus. God bless you. And all the time, the angels are saying, when will she realize? When will he realize that God has given to him all the things that he needs? God has given you what you need, not only for a past salvation, not only for a future salvation, but for today. Don't you believe me? Well, look in verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, what's the next word? Much more. There's much more than being reconciled to God. Reconciled to God, notice I am reconciled to God. God is never reconciled to me, I'm the guilty party. Reconciled to God is sins forgiven and a home in heaven. And as I said, that's all I knew. And as I say, that's what some of you know and are living on the basis of that. If you're reconciled to God, your sins are forgiven, you've got a home in heaven, and look, I'm going to make it for Jesus' sake. Well, the next two words, much more. Much more. There's much more than being reconciled to God. Much more. Being reconciled, because I'm reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We shall be saved by his life. If I asked you, my brother, how you were saved, you'd say you were saved by his death. And you'd be perfectly correct, because you were saved by the death of Christ on the cross. But here's a verse that says you'd be saved by his life. Some poor unfortunate people say this means that if you imitate the life of Christ and reach the pattern of his standard, then you'll be saved. It doesn't mean that, no. We should be saved by his life. It's unfortunate that the translation in the King James just misses the whole point there. It misses the verb and the tense and the directing word. The best translation I know is found in the Amplified New Testament. Your wondrous American translation, the Amplified New Testament, which says this, much more, being reconciled, we shall be daily delivered from sin's dominion by his resurrection life. Much more, because I am reconciled, I can be daily delivered. What tense is that? Daily delivered. Every day, daily, present tense. Daily delivered from sin's dominion, from the pressure of sin and the pressure of lust and the pressure of what sin? Independence of God. Not only vileness, loneliness, emptiness, frustration, anxiety, fear, all those are sins. because they come as a result of independence of God in the fullest sense of the word. And you can be delivered from the dominion of anxiety and frustration and fear and distress and perplexity. How? Through by his resurrection life. By the resurrection life. You see, Jesus Christ died on the cross to save me from my sins. He rose again by his Holy Spirit to live in my heart, to save me from myself. From myself. Your biggest problem isn't your sins. Your biggest problem is yourself. And your fears and your anxieties and your situations, and as you grow older, the loneliness may be and the pressures around you. God has already given unto you all things that you need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Christ, through the increasing knowledge of what Christ can be and do for you. Jesus Christ did more than die on a cross. He rose again. And if you want a check verse, look with me at 1 Corinthians, the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. Sorry, 2 Corinthians. The last chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Reading verse 5. Examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. Not in the Presbyterians or the Baptists or the free church. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And the word reprobate means a faith, a dud, a counterfeit, an imitation. If you're a true child of God, the proof of your truth being a child of God is that Jesus Christ lives in you. Says so. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. And he lives in you in the person of his Holy Spirit. And he lives in you through his Holy Spirit, that you might be saved by his life, his risen life, his resurrection life. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be daily delivered from sin's dominion by his resurrection life. God has given unto me all things that I need. Say, how can the resurrection life of Christ deliver me from fear and anxiety and distress? In very much the same way, well, Colossians 2:6 is your guide. Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you begin? You began by receiving Jesus Christ. That's how you became a Christian, receiving Jesus Christ. So, as you receive him, so you walk. So you walk, day by day, receiving him. There's the crisis of redemption, where I receive him as my own personal Savior, and there's the process of daily living, the crisis and the process. But it's all the same, receiving Jesus Christ, all that he is, for all that I need. At the cross, his precious blood to save me from my sins. In my daily living, receiving him to meet the answer to the problems and the fears. Do you pray to God for power? Do you pray to God to give you strength and power? God never answered that prayer. You say, what? I've been praying that God should give me power for years. There are some prayers God doesn't answer. Do you know why? Because he has no need to answer them. He has no need to answer them. You pray to God for power. Listen to what Jesus said. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So there's none for you. All power is given unto me. But no, I am with you. I am with you. The one who holds all the power of the universe lives in your heart, in the person of his Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And you and I ask for power. 2 cents worth of power, Lord, just to get me around the corner. And all the time you've got a Savior who lives in your heart, who's come to give you all things that you need. Or how do you avail yourself of the sufficiency of Christ? Just the same as you did at the cross. As you receive him, so you walk. You came to the cross and you said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And Lord, I can't do anything about it, but Lord, thank you, I don't have to. You died on the cross for me, Lord Jesus. You're the answer to my sin. And as I walk into life with its problems and its fears, and they press on me as they press on you, I'm just made of the same stuff as you are. But the answer is, my answer can be your answer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, these are the problems. These are the difficulties. This is my anxiety. This is my fear. It may be physical, it may be mental, it may be spiritual. Lord Jesus, this is my fear and my anxiety and my difficulty. This is my sin, this is my lust, whatever it may be. Lord, this is me. And then be perfectly honest, and Lord, I can do nothing about it. Just like at the cross, I couldn't in any way cleanse myself. When you grow tired of bashing your head against the wall and you find it really is hard, you come to Christ and tell him that you can't handle these situations in your life. And say, Lord Jesus, I can't, but how wonderful. I don't have to. I don't have to. Because, dear Lord, you live in my heart by your Holy Spirit, and you live there so that I might be daily delivered from sin's dominion by your resurrection life. And you see, if you look in verse 14, you find what happens. Verse 11 after verse 10. Verse 10 says, much more, being reconciled, we shall be daily delivered from sin by his resurrection life. Verse 11. Not only so, but we join in God. We join in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the secret of a joyful Christian life. You Christians here who have no joy in your life, I don't mean that you don't grin and show your gums or your teeth, whatever age you are. But some people think you go around grinning to make sure people know you're happy. Joy doesn't come here, first of all. Joy is down here. And the Bible teaches me not only so that we joy in God, not because I've made it, we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Joy is centered in the sufficiency of Christ in my life. Not only at the cross, not only in the throne, but day by day as I go through. The glorious sufficiency of Christ. God has given unto us all things. And all things are in Christ Jesus. What does it say? That in all things, he might have the preeminence. God has given unto us all things. and in all things he might have the preeminence. Not only in the universe and the days to come, but in your little life and my little life. Your little two-bit life as you struggle on this earth. That Jesus Christ might have the supremacy in all things. Not only saving you from sin, not only guaranteeing your home in heaven, but being with you every step of the way. You older people are lonely. One of the things I meet so much as I move around, not only teenagers, I work with teenagers and college men and women, but I love to work and to speak to those older people. I meet so many. Woman who's left on her own, husband's gone. Man who's left on his own, his wife is gone. They're old. Nobody bothers very much about the older people, but the young people are all in the center. Jesus Christ got something for you older folk, too. You are lonely. You are missing the one you love so much. And it's real and it's true. Jesus Christ is the answer to your need. Because you see, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Though I am with you always, you may lose your children, you may lose your wife or your husband, but the Lord Jesus Christ says, I will never leave thee. And you can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. And when Jesus Christ is there, his power is there, his sufficiency is there, his joy is there, his peace is there, his gladness is there. It's all there for you, all things we need. And what God has given, what have we got to do? Take them and say thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you've opened my eyes this morning. Dear Lord, how wonderful to know. You live in my heart, and you're the answer to all my problems and my difficulties. And how does it work? By faith. By faith. Why by faith? Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And if it's of faith, then it's my utter dependence on him. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, how we thank thee again for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the wondrous, glorious sufficiency that thou hast made available to us in him, that thou hast given unto us all things that we need, and all things are in Christ, and Christ is ours. O God our Father, enable us to possess our possessions. Enable us to take and say thank you. Enable us to live as those who have the answer to their present need. Dear Lord, there may be someone here with special needs this morning, through loneliness, or emptiness, or sinfulness. Oh, blessed God, may thy Holy Spirit draw specially close and touch them deeply. And may the result be as we saw in our verse 11. Joy in God through Jesus Christ. And these prayers we ask through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.